We say bismillah from washing our teeth, bismillah. Making tea, bismillah. Putting on my shoes to go to work, bismillah. Tying my buttons, bismillah. Combing my hair, bismillah. What does it mean? It means that everything is in line with one entity in this world who is in charge, who is the Rabbul Alameen, who is Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim, right? That one day I'm going to go to him and I have to answer him. So everything that I do in my life, I will have to be accountable. Right? So this kind of mentality, when I say iman, I mean this. And then as this, you know, iman, it's not like it's, you just say, I believe in the one God. It is manifested in your akhlaq, in your temper.
Mashallah.
Right? How you treat yourself, how you treat others. We talked about it. And number three, to whether you like it or not, women of this age, we are taught to be empowered in a way that we shouldn't listen to anyone, and we should have like an independent life. And it's not good to listen to men. Why should we? You know,
fight the patriarchy.
Exactly. We have to be fighters all the time. We have to be supergirl, superwoman. You know, this is what we've been fed. What our children are being fed these days by all these media that they are being exposed to. But whether you like it or not, one very, very crucial quality in woman that can guarantee the success of a marriage is her being submissive. And in a lot of these, I've read beautiful prayers when a man wants to embark on the journey of spouse selection. He makes this prayer that, Allah, give me someone who is submissive to me. There's this beautiful prayer. I don't exactly know the parts, but
the gist of it,
that when I'm angry, she can, you know, she can calm me down.
Mm.
And when I'm getting drifted away from the Sirat al-Mustaqim, she's going to help me to get back in line. You know, when I come up, you know, home tired and with full of tensions and stresses, she's the one that when I, upon looking at her face, she would just
soothe me
and calm me. And this is how Lady Fatima was, right? With Imam Ali alayhi salam. And of course, she was ni'm al-awn fi ta'atillah, the best helper in the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In the same way that we say that a man has the responsibility of holding his wife's hand and guiding both of them to the path of rightness, to the path of truth. Mm-hmm. A lady, a woman, is also ni'm al-awn fi ta'atillah. This means that she's the source of, you know, she herself is empowered in the real sense, right?
Please send any suggestion, any idea to our email, that is englishradio@irib.ir.
She's so deep in faith and iman and in her belief that she can hold her husband's hand, and together they pass the pave, right? So it's like a hunna libasul lakum antum libasul lahunna. It's so beautiful. It is, you know, as I have experienced married life, and I've been through the ups and downs, I have seen other couples how, you know, they ruin each other's reputation in front of like other crowds.
Yeah.
You know, it's so disgusting when
it
you
really
see a couple.
Is. And childish.
So childish and really annoying. And it's a disrespect to the audience there that this couple, just irrespective of each other's prestige and personality, they're just like, you see them as two separate individual entities. Mm. Whereas a good couple, you know, I don't know if you've witnessed this or not, but a successful couple, you see them like this, like hand in hand, inseparable, like as literally, as they say, one soul in two bodies, that you can't really crack open between them. She's backing him up and he's backing her up. This is hunna libasun lakum wa antum libasun, and it starts from her. honashi. So I think this is because of the fact that she's submissive. And it doesn't mean that you just have to be
a degraded, like, subordinate.
Exactly.
Yes, anything
exactly.
He says, yes, sir.
Yeah, you don't know anything. You know, you don't know what to do in life.
You're stupid, waiting for him to come home, tell you what to do.
Yeah, you're just wondering, just looking at his lips to utter a word, and you say, yes, master. Mm-hmm. This is not what I mean by submissive. Actually, in certain scenarios of life, you say yes, and you become the queen of a king.
Mm.
This is a beautiful... this is a beautiful kind of example that by saying yes to him, you make him the king. Mm. And once your husband is the king and you establish his sense of authority, right?
Sovereignty.
Right. You have a powerful man whom you can rely on. Right? And
once he is a good man. Because a lot of men, the more you say yes, yes, all right. The more you agree with them, the more they get that ego boost, and they feel like they're God now.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So if he's a good man, I feel like, yes, it really does work out. Complying to him and to his needs and being submissive makes him feel like a king who would treat you like a queen.
Mm-hmm.
But if he's a disturbed, unstable man, the more you...
Yeah, you have to be tactful. It's not like just saying yes to him. You have to know where to say yes to him and how you treat him. Like, we have a friend. This guy, he's a PhD. He's not just a simple PhD. He's a professor, literally a professor who has been teaching for 40 years in the best universities in the world, right? And he's an engineer that he's been, he has a very prestigious job in one of the very important universities in Iran and in Toronto. And then his wife has just studied for 5 grades. And you have to see this couple. She's like a queen, how she treats him.
Mashallah.
And it's not like she manages their life in such a beautiful way that when you look at them, you think that she is the PhD one and he's the one with fifth grader.
So again, it's because he's a proper man. If it were a man who's unstable, who has a corrupt ego and has a personality disorder and insecurities within himself, he'd be like, oh, what does she know? No.
You know, that's Zainab. You know, all people, men and women, have their personality disorders and issues and complexities in life, right?
Yeah.
It really depends on how you treat each other and how you bring the best of each other out, right? So you don't really have a perfect man. This man that we're actually waiting for, he's non-existent. My daughter tells me all the time, Mom, you know, this kind of man, it's like you can see them in heaven.
Mm.
We are living in this on this globe. Well, of course, I do agree that we have relative goodness.
Yeah.
That sometimes some man can score as 9 or 8 or 7, and some can score as 1 or 2, right? But this guy that I'm talking about, he's one of those. Everything of their house and family is managed by her, and he just studies. And he's just gone to university, and he has just a bookworm that has spent all his life on courses and teaching, and if you tell him to go shopping, he's gonna forget something or buy something in a wrong way.
Mm.
And she can manage a country with this fifth grader. They can manage, and mashallah, they have 5 very very successful children who are all PhDs and who are all businessmen, business people.
Mm.
We have been together a couple of weeks ago, and I see how she is submissive, where she keeps quiet. And when he says something, she just have to see it. It's not you have to know where to be submissive and where to say yes, right?
In other case, say yes all the time, and then at the end, do whatever you want to.
No, that's
to make him feel special. Oh, yes, darling, absolutely. Mm-hmm. Of course I won't throw this old shirt out. The moment he's out of the door, snip, snip, it's turned into a rag. And then you say the dog chewed it or something. So,
sincerity is really important in family.
Really? I'm joking. Don't do that, ladies. Don't listen to any advice I have to give you regarding this matter.
Again, it's a matter of tact.
Because I'm not an expert. What?
It's a matter of tact, and it's a matter of knowing each other's personality. You know, sometimes what you said would work for someone.
Yeah, it really
does. There's nothing wrong with it, right?
Here on Muslim Lady, we're talking about criteria that a woman should possess in order to be a desirable, proper, decent spouse for her husband and a good mom for her children and, you know, build a good family with each other. Thank you for our listeners for being with us. Make sure to tune in to further episodes of the show here on IRB English Radio. Until then, I leave you in the care and protection of the Almighty. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Who is the lover?
Allah.
Who is Ar-Rahman?
Allah.
Who is Al-Mannan?
La ilaha illallah. Muhammadur Rasulullah. Muhammad is the messenger. To Allah is our return.
The Quran, given by God to Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him and his family, more than 1400 years ago, as guidance for humanity. Quran speaks about women.
The Quran teaches the equality of men and women in the eyes of Allah.
Chapter 33, verse 35.
All praise is due to the one and only. He is the master of all creation.
Modesty and chastity are encouraged by the Quran, both for women and for men.
Chapter 24, verses 30 and 31.
He is the sustainer and the maintainer of the whole universe.
God created us from one male and one female and made us into nations and tribes so that we make to know one another, not to despise each other.
Chapter 49, verse 13.
La ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah. Muhammad is the messenger, to Allah is our return.
The Quran has indicated worthy women in history just as it has mentioned such men, and has commended them greatly.
Chapter 3, verse 37.
In mid-March, the Yemen Ansarullah movement published a number of secret documents and phone calls belonging to former Yemeni President Ali Abdullah Saleh. Among them, two calls between Saleh and then-director of the U.S. Central Intelligence Agency, George Tenet, dating back to 2001. In these calls, Tenet is pressuring the Yemeni president to release a man involved in the bombing attacks on USS Cole in October of the year 2000, which left 17 dead and 37 injured. The shocking point is that the man is a senior member of Al-Qaeda. That's while the United States has started bloody wars in the Middle East under the pretext of fighting the very same terrorist group.
This is the most difficult decision I've ever had.
In one of the phone calls, Tenet is asked by Saleh's translator about the name of the individual in question. He says he doesn't want to give his name over the phone. Saleh asks Tenet if the FBI personnel could meet with him to discuss the matter. This is an excerpt from the leaked call.
This is my person. This is my problem, my issue, and I'm calling you because it's very serious with me personally. This man must be released. Major General Al-Kamish, is that his name? The PSO director, Major General Ghalib Al-Kamish, he knows all about this.
Mohammed al-Ra'is.
Ambassador, and quite frankly, I'm calling because it's my responsibility. I've talked to everybody in my government. I told them that I was going to make this call. I want to work with you, but I need this man released in the next 48 hours. This is my very personal appeal to you. After 50 days, this must stop.
It turned out later that the man in question was a dual American-Yemeni citizen by the name of Anwar al-Awlaki, a top leader of al-Qaeda in the Arabian Peninsula, AQAP. An enigmatic figure in the so-called War on Terror, al-Awlaki could travel freely between Western countries like the United States and the United Kingdom, as well as Yemen, even after the 9/11 attacks. In the words of the leading Persian Gulf expert Ali al-Ahmad, the fact that this organization, Al-Qaeda, which has been attacked all over the world, continues to survive 20 years on and spread, it's not by accident. It's done by security and intelligence organizations in Washington, D.C. and in Qatar, Saudi Arabia and the UAE, and by Ali Abdullah Saleh. Anwar al-Awlaki was trained in a U.S.-funded military camp in Afghanistan under the supervision of Osama bin Laden to fight off the Soviets in the country. He later recruited members in the United States to fight the Russians in Chechnya. As an imam in San Diego, he was in close contact with Nawaf al-Hazmi, Khalid al-Mihdar, and Hani Hanjour, three individuals who hijacked the planes that crashed into the Pentagon on September 9, 2001. In fact, al-Awlaki was reportedly in contact with other operatives of the 9/11 attacks. In 2002, al-Awlaki left the United States for the United Kingdom, where he stayed for a few days before returning to Yemen. Whereas he has enough freedom of movement in both the US and the UK, al-Awlaki was arrested again in Yemen for taking part in an al-Qaeda plot to kidnap a US military attaché and a Shia teenager. After a while, some US officials were disturbed at the imprisonment without charge of a United States citizen and signaled that they no longer insisted on Mr. Awlaki's incarceration, and he was released, according to the New York Times. After his release, al-Awlaki launched his own website, while his online rhetoric became more extremist and supportive of attacks against the United States. Abdul Hakim Mujahid Muhammad, the perpetrator of a drive-by shooting on a U.S. military recruiting office in Arkansas, as well as Nidan Hassan, who killed 13 and injured 30 at Fort Hood, were among the terrorists that attended al-Awlaki's lectures. It is almost impossible to make a list of those arrested for terrorist attacks or attempts who had contact with al-Awlaki or were inspired by him. According to the New York Times, al-Awlaki is considered to have helped inspire the Boston Marathon bombing, the 2015 attack in San Bernardino, California, and the shooting at the Orlando Pulse nightclub. After years of being protected by U.S. security and intelligence agencies, al-Awlaki was placed in 2010 on the U.S. kill list, and a year later, the CIA finally killed its own former asset with a drone strike.
Before I begin, I want to say a few words about some important news. Earlier this morning, Anwar al-Awlaki, a leader of al-Qaeda in the Arabian Peninsula, was killed in Yemen. The death of al-Awlaki is a major blow to al-Qaeda's most active operational affiliate. Al-Awlaki was the leader of external operations for al-Qaeda in the Arabian Peninsula. In that role, he took the lead in planning and directing efforts to murder innocent Americans.
2 weeks after the killing of al-Awlaki, another drone strike ordered by Obama killed Abdul Rahman al-Awlaki, Anwar's American-born 16-year-old son. 6 years later, President Trump ordered a raid that killed Nawar al-Awlaki, the 18-year-old daughter of Anwar. While the U.S. has repeatedly pounded al-Qaeda's branch in Yemen with bombs, the fact is that they are not entirely enemies. On the other hand, the Saudi coalition, which the U.S. is practically a part of, is at war with the Houthi Ansar Allah movements and therefore shares a purpose in the country with al-Qaeda, expelling the Houthis from power. In 2018, the Associated Press reported that the coalition cut secret deals with al-Qaeda fighters, paying some to leave key cities and towns and letting others retreat with weapons, equipment, and wads of looted cash. Hundreds more were recruited to join the coalition itself. The point is, according to Major General Abdul Ghadir al-Shami of the Yemeni Security and Intelligence Service, the Americans used to train their individuals in Yemen and send them abroad to carry out operations for them, and then affix the accusation to Yemen as an excuse to come under the cover of fighting those individuals. Interestingly enough, since the U.S. supported the Saudi-led coalition against Yemen, al-Qaeda terrorists are parading around Yemen city streets in U.S.-made MRAP armored vehicles. In a report by the U.S. Department of State dating back to 1998, U.S. officials made it clear that they have special interests in Yemen. This place is suitable to host some spy aircrafts, including all fighters and air bombers, and with some additions and modifications in the proposed place, it will be suitable to accept many kinds of marine ships. These include aircraft carriers and also some submarines, which are working in the Indian Ocean, the Red Sea, and the Mediterranean Sea. The presence of terrorist groups can always provide the US an excuse to have a military presence in the region. In fact, groups such as al-Qaeda and Daesh could not survive without support coming from the United States and other Western countries. But these fabricated enemies would be protected as long as they served these countries' interests and helped them reach their geopolitical goals.
Food for thought.
Hello, dear listeners, and congratulations on the anniversary of the day on which Islam and Muslims were saved from a catastrophe in the year 3 AH at Uhud near Medina, thanks to the valor of Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib, peace be upon him, the cousin of Prophet Muhammad, blessings of God upon him and his progeny. And here is what the Archangel Gabriel chanted whilst giving the Prophet the heavenly sword, Zulfaqar, as a gift for Imam Ali, peace be upon him, whose sword was broken in the encounter with the infidels, and he had picked up a rod to defend the Prophet from the attacks of the Arab infidels. No youth is braver than Ali, and no sword sharper than Zulfaqar.
We are with you. What about you? IRIB English Radio. Log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/EN.
the light.
For many professional climbers, ascending Mount Everest for even once remains an almost distant dream. However, a Napoli man has achieved that feat not once or twice, but 25 times. Kamirito Sherpa has arrived back in the capital, Kathmandu, after breaking his own whopping record of 24 ascents to the summit of the world's tallest mountain. The veteran climber hopes that his accomplishment represents a big achievement for his small country. Climbing tall mountains runs in Kami's blood. He belongs to the Sherpa tribe, one of the Tibetan ethnic groups, and native to the most mountainous region of Nepal. Now, a heart-touching video has gone viral showing an adorable baby giraffe discover her shadow for the very first time. The animal is seen curiously looking at the ground as her shadow reflects her moves. The calf, which has not been named yet, was born in a safari park in South Australia earlier this month. It is being bottle-fed and hand-raised by the zoo staff for now, but the keepers hope she can join her herd once she becomes stronger. The iconic Eiffel Tower in Paris has been illuminated for the first time using electricity produced from certified renewable hydrogen. In an amazing show, hydrogen-generated lights were projected onto the tower's frames, displaying various patterns and designs, making viewers ecstatic. It's a dream project of a French company based in the city of Saint-Malo. The company wanted to make the most recognizable landmark a showcase for its carbon-free technology. The objective is to bring more awareness of renewable energy to the public. The nightly event will continue until May the 30th. Countries around the world are investing a lot to develop hydrogen-related technologies. A French musician helps patients in an end-of-life care home to escape from pain by playing the cello for them. Let's have a listen.
Music soothes pain as music eases their symptoms. In palliative care, in end-of-life care, there is sometimes still pain in spite of the morphine, in spite of the drugs that really help manage the pain of the patients. They still feel pain, and music really has a calming power on the residual pain of palliative care patients.
The sound of Claire Oppert's solo cello resonates through the rooms of Jean Garnier End-of-Life Care Home in southern Paris on Fridays. She plays for patients who suffer from physical pain as well as terminal illnesses. The center's staff say music lightens patients' moods and puts them in a calm state.
After Claire leaves the room, we find the patients in a calm state, at times moved, at times happy. A lot happens. There are moments of tears, moments of joy. When we go into the room, we find there is an encounter with the person and his or her story.
I'm in permanent pain. The music helps a little to escape from the pain, I think. You pay attention to the music, and if it's a piece you know, you anticipate the next note. There you go, it's like that.
Claire has been playing the cello for patients in end-of-life care for almost a decade. She says the fact that music makes people feel good has been known since the beginning of humanity, but today it needs to be proven scientifically. Therefore, she has made it her mission to demonstrate the therapeutic effects of music on patients by taking medical studies. A
Russian zoo is delighted to welcome a new resident, a rare snow white wallaby. The cute Joey named Elisa was born at Regina Zoo in the southwestern city of Kazan. Zookeepers say she is healthy, playful, and has won the visitors' attention. Interestingly enough, Elisa's brother Alec was born with normal pigmentation. Wallabies are members of the kangaroo family. The albino wallaby, which has no skin pigmentation and pink eyes, is believed to be extremely rare. Circus and lab animals are getting a second shot at life after a Frenchman built a sanctuary using his own private funds. The sanctuary houses some large animals like rescued lions, elephants and hippos, but it's also home to some lab creatures that were kept for scientific studies, such as the macaques. Circus and lab animals are usually euthanized if they are not rescued. Owner and sanctuary investor Patrick Viola says every day he takes numerous phone calls from circus owners asking about free space at his shelter.
More than a zoo, this is a shelter. It is a refuge above all for animals that need it when there is no other solution. You know, we get 5 to 6 calls every day. Fortunately, in 90% of cases, our help is not even needed. You can't just call us and say, hey, I have a horse, I don't want it anymore. There are plenty of other options. We put a lot of people in touch with each other. People who look for animals and people who have animals they need taken care of. We accommodate animals when there is really no other solution.
Patrick says his shelter is one of 3 sanctuaries that are able to look after wild animals and the only one with the space capacity. He said he's planning an extension as a bill aimed at phasing out the use of wild animals in circuses passes through Parliament. Based on government figures, there are some 80 traveling circuses in France. The ban will be phased in over 5 years once the legislation comes into effect.
The Light is a short bulletin in which we bring you a lot of interesting news in different fields like animals' life, cultural events, funny trending news, and more from every corner of the world.
First a hobby and now a money-making career. A Chinese artist creates objects out of wolf felt in a studio in Beijing.
I came across pictures about wool felt art online by chance. I was very interested in this kind of material, so I did some research and started to try to make something. I've been doing it for about more than 10 years now. I didn't expect that I could do it for such a long time. At first, it was just a little hobby. I wouldn't have thought that I would do it as a profession.
Yin's current exhibition is themed on a warm sense of family unit depicted by cute and cozy mushroom-headed figures. One features a small mushroom-headed family, another features a life-sized adult and child with the same shape. Other artworks include plants and animals, but whatever the creations are, they are infused with human emotions, making people feel good. That's what the 31-year-old Chinese artist says. So far, she has been part of 9 exhibitions in China and Japan.
Let's go to Russia to take a look at St. Petersburg's largest celebration in spring, the Tulip Festival. Around 200,000 tulips from 100 varieties are on display in the colorful gala. It includes 15 extremely rare flower species. Russian artists also participated in the event to promote their traditional culture through various performances. The annual festival, held in Kirov Central Park, attracts hundreds of visitors. This year's event will run until late May.
A French artist has placed the Eiffel Tower on a cliff using optical illusion on the famous landmark. In his work, street artist J.R. has removed the River Seine with an imaginary street that would go from the Trocadero to the Eiffel Tower. This work is a collage of several layers of paper, which are not to last long due to their rain and the crowd that will walk on it. According to the artist's post on Instagram, the idea is to find the place perfectly reproducing the Eiffel Tower and have fun taking pictures by the imaginary cliff or jumping over the gaping chasm.
In Thailand, three sniffer dogs have joined the fight against the third wave of the pandemic in the country. The canines sniff hundreds of sweat samples per day to detect COVID patients who display no symptoms. The samples are from local medical volunteers as well as bedridden patients who are not able to show up at testing centers. Thailand's Social Development and Human Security Ministry is in charge of collecting the samples and delivering them to a university in Bangkok where the dogs operate. Researchers say the dogs can detect a volatile compound secreted in the sweat of COVID-infected people.
The distinctive scent is what would appear after there's an infection. Different kinds of viruses will produce different kinds of scents, therefore they contain different smells. The canines are very sensitive towards scents excreted from human body, and they have better scents by hundreds of millions of times better than us humans, without even having to come into close contact with the virus.
Researchers say the dogs have a success rate of over 90% in detecting asymptomatic COVID patients. They say the canines have gone through thousands of samples since early May.
Robots probably will never replace humans, but you must be worried they might steal your job in the future. A cook robot in Spain has risen to fame because of its ability to prepare paella, one of the world's most renowned national dishes. This robot is made up of an electronically controlled stove and a mechanical arm. It can put the already fried ingredients into the pan, add rice to it, and then stir it before pouring in the fish stock. The robot can prepare one paella at a time. However, all the ingredients have to be prepared and measured in advance. The Spanish company behind this product is trying to expand the robot's functionality.
They are designing what we have named Gastro Robot Menu, a robot gastronomic experience. Five chefs from the Basque Culinary Center are developing a five-course menu, so eventually we would take a seat in front of the robot and taste five courses designed by five important chefs.
Enrique says the product has already provoked interest outside Spain. He says some amusement parks and resorts in Japan already have their own paella robots. Paella masters believe the machine is a useful tool for chefs because they can cook many paellas at the same time. As the world continues to battle COVID-19, people are finding traditional and modern ways of remembering those who have lost their lives due to the pandemic. A public library in the US is commemorating the victims with an origami project. The Greenpoint Public Library in Brooklyn, New York City, has collected 1,000 origami pieces since April. Inspired by the ancient Japanese legend that 1,000 paper cranes can bring well wishes or healing, the library aims to promote hope and a sense of solidarity. The delicate handmade cranes, many of them from recycled paper, are now on display in the library's lobby. The staff hopes that each and every crane brings hope to the community.
We made this for the COVID Remembrance Day event, month-long event. Crane, in many cultures, especially in Asian culture, it symbolizes peace, love, recovery, and hope. And especially in Japanese culture, Senbazuru, 1,000 paper crane, is really significant. They believe that if one holds 1,000 paper crane, one's wishes come true.
The library has also asked people to come by and drop off their homemade origami as a memorial to the COVID-19 victims. It plans to keep up the display until at least the end of the summer.
Today's special.
Assalamu alaikum.
It's special for you. We present to you today. In the name of Allah, the Almighty, dear brothers and sisters, salamu alaikum. You're listening to this episode of today's special from IRIB English Radio. Be with us under the topic of Palestine. Today, Thursday, is the 15th of Shawwal, 1442 of the Islamic Lunar Hijri calendar, corresponding to the 6th of Hordad, 1400 of the Islamic Solar Hijri calendar, and the 27th of May, 2021 of the Christian Gregorian calendar. We'll listen to chapter Al-Baqarah, verse 254.
A'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim. يا أيها الذين آمنوا أنفقوا مما رزقناكم من قبل أن يأتي يوم لا بيع فيه ولا خلة ولا شفاعة والكافرون هم الظالمون.
O you who have believed, spend from that which we have provided for you before there comes a day in which there is no exchange and no friendship and no intercession. And the disbelievers, they are the wrongdoers.
La ilaha illallah, la ilaha illallah.
Bless your day with contemplation on the verses of the Holy Quran.
This verse is rendered as a warning to the believers, telling them to give alms and not to lose the respite they have in this life. They are recommended to provide some fitting provisions, thereby for their certain journey, the next life, the hereafter. On the resurrection day, there will be neither any bargain to buy the means of felicity nor any friend to make their infidelity invalid. They are deprived from intercession in that world because they were the cause of deprivation for others in this world. As long as Palestine remains oppressed, the world is devoid of justice. Israel and the U.S. portraying themselves as the protectors of democracy and human rights are trying to occupy the region in line with their own interests on the grounds that they will be to protect Palestine and Palestinian people, and they constantly apply tyranny to the people of the region. On the other hand, the Palestinians continue to struggle against the pressure and sanctions. Palestine's struggle is an example to the world.
Dr. Fakhr Rohani.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim wa bi nasta'in. Why is Palestine so important for Muslims? Zionists, they believe that by means of inviting people to come to negotiations and also by capturing some places, I mean, apparently for agricultural purposes, they will be able to make an autonomous government of their own. But in reality, this is just the beginning of capturing the whole land. I mean, piece by piece, they buy, I mean, lands, pieces of land from here and there. And at the same time, they extended the territory. For example, in the as early as 1914, the Jews comprised only 8% of the people of Palestine, and they had only 2.5% of the lands of Palestinians. However, later on, with the migration of other Zionists, I mean, from other places, mainly from the European countries to Palestine, they extended their, their territory over there. Even at the same time, even in Palestine, there's some sort of discrimination over there. I mean, Zionists favor European Jews over non-European races or non-European Jews. For example, if there are, for example, the Arab Jews and European Jews, they give preference to European Jews. And because of this, it has long been, I mean, the regime of the occupied Palestine has long been a part of the European Union because of this, because in over there, they prefer only Europeans. And they have more affinity with Europeans and with European powers. In Iran, we find that late martyr Murtaza Motahari indicated it, I mean, long before the victory of the Islamic Revolution in 1979, that such people like Moshe Dayan, Golda Meir, Zil Yeshkol, and others, they migrated from here and there to Palestine and occupied over there.
I will not fall, but I'm forgotten. I'm standing tall, I feel abandoned. Stand elevated, blessed by the prophets, led by the greatest, and peace it was promised. Can you hear my cry? Can you feel my heart? One day the sun will rise over this land of love.
Defending Palestine is a must for all Muslims. The enemies of the world of Islam have always tried to make maximum use of denominational, tribal, geographical, and regional differences, and today they are using modern instruments to fulfill their purpose. We should pay attention to this, and we should be awakened. They want to busy us with one another so that they can distract our attention from the main point. They want to pit Muslim ethnicities, nations, and denominations, including Shia, Sunni, and other Islamic denominations against one another so that the issue of Israel will be forgotten. The issue of occupying Palestine should have made us get close to one another, but they are using it to make us drift away from one another. They create discord in the world of Islam and pit governments against one another by using the issue of Palestine. The issue of Palestine is a clear issue. This is no Islamic denomination that has any doubts about the fact that jihad is wajib, obligation for Muslims whenever an Islamic land is under attack. All Islamic denominations share this belief, and there is no ground for disagreement on this matter. However, the enemies cast doubt on this matter, which all Muslims believe in. They create division among Muslims. They provoke denominational and tribal prejudice and they fuel its fire so that they can freely pursue their goals. Ways to support Palestinians, social media. While making sure not to co-opt Palestinian struggles and conflate them with other global movements, social media is a powerful tool nevertheless. It can be used to amplify the voices and posts of Palestinian activists and journalists on the ground. They risk their lives to shoot photos and videos to share with the rest of the world. This places them as targets for Israeli soldiers and settlers. By sharing their posts, it allows a greater reach and for more people to understand what is happening on the ground. Many news organizations around the world have framed what is happening in Palestine as clashes between Palestinians and the Israeli police. Through reports on the ground, a clearer picture emerges of what is actually happening.
Dua and dhikr and charity and helping out in whatever way, that spirituality, feeling a part of the ummah, that spirituality, insha'Allah ta'ala, will be our salvation on the Day of Judgment. Do not trivialize dua. If the least that the dua will accomplish is that it will soften our hearts, it has accomplished enough. And Allah knows, maybe a dua from a righteous amongst us might be accepted. As well, dear Muslims, I want every one of us to educate himself or herself about the political realities of Palestine so that you can challenge the narrative in your own circle of friends, in your own acquaintances. I want every one of you to become an ambassador for this cause because it is an Islamic cause. Do not allow any of your friends or acquaintances to say something that is incorrect. Become a beacon of information. If all of us did this, then the narrative will change. Every one of you has friends in your own circle, your colleagues at work. Every one of you has people that follow you on Facebook that have the opposite news, that have the incorrect understanding. Perhaps you can be the one whom Allah uses to change one person's narrative and gain one ally and support. Be proactive and be wise and know your facts, know your figures, and that requires you to study as well. Also, brothers and sisters, now is also the time to monitor our own elected officials and others in our community who are allying with the wrong side. And of course, it's true, our quantities are small, but in some areas we can have clout and influence. And eventually, inshallah ta'ala, we will have the numbers to have a change. We cannot sit by silently when our own elected officials make such statements. Challenge them, tweet at them, write to them. And if there's alternative candidates in the next election, the least we can do is to make this one of the key issues that we judge the validity of a candidate by. What is a person's stance on Palestine? What is a person's stance on Israel? That should be one of the key issues that we look at every time somebody runs for public office.
Inshallah, we continue this topic till another episode of today's special, Fi Amanillah.
Every day we tell each other that this day will be the last, and tomorrow we all can go home free, and all this will finally end. Palestine, tomorrow will be free. Palestine, tomorrow will be free.
What you heard was an IRIB English radio program. Our website is www.parstoday.com/en. This is IRIB English Radio. Coming up is the news.